Welcome to the Get Wealthy Podcast, where wellness doesn't suck. I'm your host, Michelle Smith.
We feeling wealthy, we getting healthy, we feeling wealthy, we getting healthy, we drinking green juice.
Welcome to another episode of Get Wealthy. I am your host, Michelle Smith, and I am joined by my temporary co-host, Brad Smith. No relation.
Kind of a relation. Actually, there's yes, no relation. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, as like a
no blood relation. Wheels were turning.
Well, yeah, no blood relation, but we do have the same name.
Welcome.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Oh, you know, the huge. The huge.
What?
The usual.
Right, but when did you turn into a
cutting
things down?
What's the hat, man?
What's the
hap? I know. I can't make. Can anyone? No one talks like that.
Well, first of all, there's more than one hap. It's is haps.
What?
What's the haps?
No, it's what's happening. What's hap? What?
Oh my god! I can't believe I never knew this about you.
What?
You even say like bad slang wrong.
What's the no?
What's the hap? What's the haps?
No, but what's the haps? Nobody says that. Nobody
what's
says
the hap.
Nobody says what's the hap, and nobody says what's the haps.
Haps is more common than a hap.
No, no. The only people talking like this are likely wearing an Ed Hardy trucker's cap with some True Religion bedazzled jeans, and they're sporting around in their Hummer.
Fair enough.
Blasting something from Y2K. What was that? Like Eminem? Oh no, no. Limp Bizkit. They pull up in the Hummer and say, what's the hap?
I don't know if Limp Bizkit, sorry, I have to emphasize
I did it
the
all
Z.
For the cookie. That was Limp Bizkit, right? Yeah. No,
oh my God. You can't. I did it all for the nookie, not for the cookie. My God.
I did like that song at the time, but I think it was clear I was not sporting the Ed Hardy. I was even down in Southern California during this time for college, gosh. And it was big, but that was not my jam. Speaking of, did you notice that there was a Hummer in the Costco parking lot yesterday?
I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah, and it was parked wrong. It was parked in the other parking spot, too. Like, it was over the line.
Well, they always shocking. Are. They always are.
Right? And even more my notice, it had a stick figure family in the back windshield.
Oh, double whammy.
I was like, who is this person?
First of all, apologies to all our Hummer driving
nobody drives a Hummer anymore. Do you, that, okay, so that's what...
I know. I was joking. I don't think anyone... I don't think there's any Hummer drivers. Humming.
That, there's no hummings.
This is going well.
Okay, I don't think there are. I thought of that. I said to myself, huh, that's interesting because I don't see Hummers on the road anymore. Yeah. And then I started thinking, I'm like, maybe that's just the Bay Area. There's like, they're frowned upon. I think they were frowned upon then. And I bet they're even more frowned upon now as there's like 10 Teslas lined up to like charge.
There's no room for the Hummers because they're so big and there's so many Teslas.
Well, maybe that's why they all park bad. Yeah. You should have to take an extra parking test to own one of those giant cars. Anyways, moving on.
But yeah, we digress.
Yeah, that was interesting. Speaking of, at the end of the show, we have a caffeine update.
Oh, this sounds fun.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But first, on to this week's show, we have Stephanie Telfer Lara back. She, if you can remember, was on a few weeks ago talking to us about EFT. She's a spiritual psychologist, and today she is back talking to us about how to tap into our higher selves and through that, how we can find purpose and meaning. I love this episode. I really like one of the things we talk with Stephanie about is we really dive into what is spiritual psychology and understanding that. And we had a great conversation about what spirituality is because I think it's such an evasive topic. I always think of dating profiles like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, well, we haven't been
why. Oh, yeah. Last week I saw
but
that.
But it's just like the long walks on the beach. I'm spiritual, not religious. But we kind of talk about that and like what actually is spirituality. And one thing I want to make clear too you know, I think religion is one way to experience mm-hmm. spirituality. But there are so many other ways that we can kind of tap into that deeper connection mm-hmm. To the world around us. And I really enjoyed chatting about that, too.
Yeah.
We can also get into a little more details after the show in case anyone's interested about the ghost in our old house that came up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get into it too much with Stephanie because it would digress from what we are talking about. But we can talk about that in the wrap up. So with that, enjoy Stephanie. Welcome back to Get Wealthy, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our first repeat guest.
Yes.
Yes.
So we are going to anoint. Is that a proper word for this?
Sure.
I think so. It sounds very
spiritual. I like it too.
It does.
And official.
It does, right? This is your anointedness. Anointion. I don't know.
Anointion.
Anointion is
the word. As a friend of Get Wealthy, what that means is, Stephanie, you're a spiritual psychologist. You have so much to offer us. You're going to be a recurring guest that gets to offer your wisdom to our audience. And so we're really excited to have you back.
Thank you so much. I feel honored. I am honored. Oh. Thank you.
Well, you are the first anointed one. So,
I love it. I love that even better. That's fantastic.
On your anointing.
Thank you, Brad.
Maybe we should make t-shirts up for that.
Ooh, I love it.
Okay. So, Stephanie, you're a spiritual psychologist. I want to dig into a little bit more about what that is. I want our audience to start getting to know you a little bit better, understand what spiritual psychology entails, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about purpose and how that's all connected. So
awesome. Wonderful. Let's do it. So what is spiritual psychology? So it is basically kind of the study of the mind, body, and the spirit. And I was always fascinated with psychology, and I was actually like a psychology major in my undergrad. And then we got to this part where we had to do a lot of abnormal psych. And I think I mentioned this before, and it just was not something that spoke to me. And I really, basically the study of spiritual psychology is, like I said, the mind, body, and the spirit. But it's kind of the awareness that we have a spirit, we have a soul, and that we also have a human experience. So how do those come together? Like, how are you a soul who has a purpose and a calling in life and also live out your human experience? So I hope that makes sense, but that's kind of basically what it is. And I was really drawn to questions like, who am I? Why am I here? And what is my life purpose and my calling? And studying spiritual psychology felt like that vehicle to understanding some of those deeper, more meaningful questions.
I love that. And I think that honestly gets into the heart of why we started Get Wealthy is because mm-hmm. that wellness component in mind, body, and spirit is often left out of health and wellness. And I think it's such a crucial component to understand about ourselves in a deeper way than most of us do. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what makes you unique and what inspires you into action? Right. Mm-hmm. All those things. I really am so happy that I took that path in studying the spiritual psychology part, because it was so much more soulful, I think, than studying just practical, you know, psychology, like just everyday psychology. The program was really experiential, because spirituality is something that is intended to be a personal experience mm-hmm. and not something that just someone teaches you. And then it's like, okay, I downloaded that knowledge. But it was really meant to be experienced and lived, if that makes sense.
It does. So I want to dive into that a little bit, because I think that spirituality, like you said, it's experienced so differently through people. Some people it's more religion-based, some people it's more of a consciousness-based. And so I want to talk to you a little bit more about not necessarily defining spirituality, but maybe understanding the role of spirituality in health and wellness. And maybe there is some sort of a definition in there or some sort of understanding of it that connects it all together?
Yeah, no, I love that question. So the question is like, what's the difference between like religion and spirituality mm-hmm. in a way?
And I mm-hmm, religion is one expression, one way to express spirituality for some?
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard this saying once that religion is basically, and different religions are all vehicles and they're all driving in the same place and at the same destination. Right. Like and it's just like, which vehicle do you prefer to drive? Are you, do you prefer the Christian vehicle or the Hindu vehicle? But a lot of the intent behind religions are to really become more of a loving human.
Yep.
And to, yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, that's one of the things when I was studying religion in school, the different religions, like when you kind of peel back the different traditions or ways of looking at the heart of it, I found that love was what drove it. And then at that heart, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of takes different, you know, takes root differently for different people.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's, I really liked that because it could, you could see all the religions and the ways in which they're connected. But the way that I would describe spirituality is different than religion is spirituality is about your own personal experience with God or the God that lives inside of you. Whereas religion oftentimes puts God outside of you. So like religion may speak to like a deity or God that's up above and it's like, you know, it's separate from you. Mm-hmm. Where spirituality is the understanding that you, that it is connected to you in a really deep way and in a personal way, and that you can experience spirituality through yourself. Mm-hmm. And somebody once explained to me that the difference is kind of like this, like religion is someone pointing to the moon and saying, you see the moon there? And then spirituality is basically somebody living on the moon and you're experiencing it. And that's not to mean that people who aren't religious don't feel that they're living on the moon, right? Like they're not really experiencing it and they are, and everybody's experiences are true to themselves. But that would be my definition of the difference between like spirituality and religion, if that makes sense.
Oh,
and I'm really actually grateful because I was growing up Catholic mm-hmm. and there were many things that as I grew up to an adult, I didn't necessarily agree with what I learned in Catholicism, but I think it was a really great gateway mm-hmm. to teach me about spirituality in a bigger way. Like it had always been a part of my life. So it wasn't like this random concept when I wanted to learn more about it. I had this like kind of foundation to go off of. So I'm grateful for the exposure to religion in my own life, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think that's the same for me. And I'd even say for Brad, mm-hmm. We experience spirituality. And I grew up going to church sporadically and sometimes not. And then, but I always felt that deeper, I always felt like there was something, you know what, this is the best way to say it. I felt there was something wrong with me because I wasn't experiencing this emotional connection to what was happening mm-hmm. around me in the way I would expect. Mm-hmm. And I think what was missing for me was that spirituality component because I wasn't able to connect the two for myself personally because I wasn't personally experiencing that.
Yeah, exactly. It felt outside of you. So it was like you went and you sat in the church and you didn't feel that sense of connection.
Right. And it wasn't until after my girls were born that I started actually experiencing my own personal spirituality. And that's
and in what ways, yeah, in what ways do you think, I'm going to like switch it up on us. I'm like, so in which ways did you experience like spirituality when the girls were born?
Well, I mean, this is kind of a little bit of an off of this. I was actually pregnant with Tegan. This is very random. So I felt, you know, after my childhood, and I wasn't feeling anything. And then I went into this realm of agnosticism and I didn't mm-hmm. believe or understand or even think that there was a God. I was in this very physical place of everything is what it is. We die. We're soil. This is that. Spirit is a function of our brain. You know, that's where I was. And so I was pregnant with Tegan and I couldn't sleep one night. And I got up to go sleep on the couch because it was very comfortable then. And as soon as I walked into the living room, this is a little off topic, but Stephanie, I know you'll appreciate
it. I love it. I know. I walked into the living room
and there was something that I couldn't see, but I could feel it palpably, spirit-wise, sitting on the couch. And I flipped out because this was nothing like I'd ever experienced or even thought was in my realm of being able to experience. And I could just feel this presence there that I had no idea what it was. And I flipped on all the lights and I sat there and we had some friends and one of them was into Reiki and spirituality and intuitive. And I just never really paid attention to what she told us about. I thought it was like a form of feng shui. This was how far
I love it.
And this was just 9 years ago. And I sat there, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what KTU is telling us about. And I just couldn't deny that there was something there. And so that was kind of what kicked off this exploration for me of understanding that there's more out there than I'm understanding and blocking myself off to. And it just kind of led me to start understanding, you know, I started getting into near-death experiences and understanding that. And so that was my kind of where it started is very different than now, but it was just kind of like that little crack under the light under the door that kind of was like, there's something over here to maybe connect to.
Got a little peek under the hood.
Yeah.
Got a little peek under the spiritual hood and the spirit hood. So I love that. That's such a great story.
Well, it's kind of a weird way to like start talking about like beautiful way I've come to now experience spirituality, but that was what kind of like was my kick in the pants.
Well, it really sparked like your curiosity. You're like, what in the world was that? And so,
This like snowball effect of like other things that I was like, okay, I get it. Something, there's more to this world that I can connect to.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. And it's kind of similar the way that I kind of woke up to my kind of my spiritual gifts or my spiritual life was kind of similar. It was like after the birth of my son, I moved to a small town called Benicia, and up the street there was a metaphysical store. And my sister and I were always curious about these angel circles this woman would host. And we, and because I grew up Catholic, angels were like in the scope of my awareness, right? Like it was like, okay, angels, that feels like within reason. And I remember I was dealing with a lot of postpartum depression at the time. And I was feeling really lost, a lot of like lacking purpose. Like even though I had just had a baby and, you know, my old belief was that, well, I had a baby, so I should feel like this abundance of purpose. Like I have this being to take care of. Like, but despite that, I didn't feel purpose in my life. And I was dealing with the depression. And so this woman was hosting these circles there. And I remember I was like, I have to go. Like there was just every ounce of my being had to be there. And I was running late and I dropped the baby off with my mom and she was going to come and we had a sitter arranged and the sitter couldn't come. And I remember telling my mom, Mom, I just need to go. Like, can you just watch the baby? Like I have to go. And it was like the gateway into learning about spirituality. And the woman ended up becoming my mentor and teaching me about, you know, divine guidance and angels and learning more about how to connect to your intuition and my soul. And she was the one who actually informed me of the degree that you could even get a degree in spiritual psychology. So that was kind of my gateway into wanting to learn more.
I love that. I think everybody has that moment. And I think so many, there's a really similar experience is that as a human, as our part of our human experience, most of us are longing for some sort of connection to that bigger picture. And
I think we are too. Yeah.
How to get it. And for me, I'd closed it off because there was either like, oh, you're cuckoo, hippie, dippy, whatever, or it was religion. Neither of those really resonated with me. Because totally. I still had this very practical mindset that it has to also make sense somehow.
No, absolutely. And it was really funny because I think sometimes before people want to learn more about like spirituality, they have this resistance. At least I did. I remember Andrea, we went to Hawaii and Andrea got this book on like automatic writing, which is basically a way to kind of like connect to like your intuition and sort of automatic write onto paper, like you're and connect with your intuition. Mm-hmm. And I had so much resistance to learning this. Like I was like, this is so stupid. Like I told Andrea, I'm like, this is so dumb, ridiculous. You know, this is ridiculous. And then ultimately I become like the biggest woo of them all. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was, but I had the most, most resistance. Like if you asked Andrea, I was just like poo-pooing it totally. But I think that's what is so important about spirituality is it's such a personal experience. And that's the important part is that you begin to have experiences for yourself and then come to your own understanding.
Yeah. I think something that was important to me too, was that I really based so much like of this factual, pragmatic, like I'm so practical. I understand science. But then kind of taking the step back and being like, you know what? There's nobody walking this earth that understands everything. Like, I don't know what I don't know. We don't know what we don't
know. Yeah,
and just, exactly. Even just being open to that fact was something that was different for me, was being like, nobody here has all the answers to anything.
Nobody. Mm-mm.
That I do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know what else is really exciting, Michelle, is there are so many people now who are actually bridging mysticism and science.
Oh,
and that's what I'm really into studying now is these people who are really showing us how the science can support the mysticism. People like Joe Dispenza, who is really into that kind of work. I think it's really exciting because now I think the nice thing about science is it gives us a language that we can kind of all agree upon.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's so exciting to have science come into join spirituality and begin to kind of prove some of it.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think they aren't mutually exclusive and I think they're
very
deeply interconnected, to be honest.
Absolutely.
We just haven't had the tools to understand energy. Like we're such young, like if you look at our planet and just humanity, like we are we're little babies. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I totally agree with you.
I imagine like if we were to take an iPhone back 100 or 200 years ago and just dropped it off, somebody would think it was they wouldn't be able to understand that. So I'm not going to be ignorant enough to think that there is something 300 years from now that we will have perfect understanding of that we don't have now. And so that's been something that's been interesting to me and like bridging that science gap. Like I think that there will be a point where all of this is understood and explained through science.
I totally agree. And that's what really intrigues me these days is that's what I love to listen to and to like study those types of people because they give some of the spiritual world some like credibility in that sense. So it's exciting.
So I wanted to dig
go ahead.
No,
sorry,
go ahead.
Michelle, go ahead.
No, you go.
It's no, like I'm ready for you. You asked me.
Who's going to walk through the door first? Right. Well, I wanted to kind of talk to you about how you bridged this understanding of spirituality and how we can kind of take our spirituality to help us find our purpose. Because I think that's something that is really connected to our wellness, because when we don't have purpose, there's a lot of struggle for me at least. And I think Brad, would you say that's,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You should elaborate.
Nope, I'm good.
I think when there's a lack of purpose, it creates a struggle, and that's connected to our wellness. And I know for me, I have found so much of my purpose and redirection and all of that stuff through my spirituality and understanding that. So I kind of want to bridge that and see for you, how did that lead to your purpose? Like, you know, and how is this all interconnected and how can we find our purpose?
Yeah, and I think these are really great questions. And I'm like, oh God, where do I even begin? But I think one of them is there's this quote by Michael Beckwith, and I love it. And it says, he says, you can either be pushed by your pain or pulled by your inspiration. And I think for me, for a lot of my life, in my earlier life, I was pushed by pain. And my pain was actually what led me to my purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So I was pushed to discover, like, why do I have anxiety? Why am I depressed? Why is it that I have these things I want to share with the world, but I don't have the confidence to do it? So I was pushed by my pain a lot, right? And so what did I do with that? I began to study. I began to learn more about that, dive into self-inquiry, learn about spirituality. Like, I just became so hungry by it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you come a point where I felt more pulled by my inspiration. What inspires me? What lights me up? What am I curious about? Because I started to learn the language of my own, like, spirit, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I began to learn the language of my own soul. And we can dive into that too. Like, how do you access your like higher self, that part of yourself that's connected to intuition? Mm-hmm. And you know, they call it your higher self or your authentic self. When I was in school, they called it your inner counselor. Mm-hmm. And that's the part of yourself that is connected to, like, infinite wisdom and love.
Okay.
So it's the part of yourself that maybe will stop you before you go to say something nasty. You know what yeah. I mean? Or the part of yourself that gives you really good advice, or a friend really good advice. It's the part of you that loves your child when they fall and you pick them up and you cuddle them and cradle them. That's kind of your higher self. When people refer to their higher self, it's just like this loving wisdom that is kind of connected to it's, yeah.
It's our, Michelle. It's our knowing self, right? And I think
it's your knowing self.
Often, you know, I think we are all very intuitive beings, but we've been trained mm-hmm. throughout our life to ignore that. And
yes, you know, and we are all intuitive. And some people will think that, well, that person has that gift of intuition. Mm-hmm. Everybody is built with the intuition muscle. It's just some people work on it and they start to learn the language of their intuition and they start to exercise that and then they get stronger with it. But anybody can grow. Anybody can make that muscle strong.
Mm-hmm. I think for me,
so it's not
mm-hmm. ignoring the outer influences and trusting our own. And sometimes mm-hmm. that is with boundaries and what society mm-hmm. might say. And it's just really digging deep into, like, what do we think and know? Because ultimately I think
yes.
that 99.9% of the time in situations when we're struggling, we look back with the hindsight and how many times do we say, I knew better. I knew it all along,
mm-hmm.
but we chose mm-hmm. not to trust ourselves in lieu of, mm-hmm. you know, trusting someone else or some other system in place.
No, and exactly. And when we're born, we're kind of born into, like, these imprints, right? So we're born into certain families that value certain things, or maybe they have a certain religion that they follow, or you're also born into society. What's going on in society around the time you're born? What's that imprint onto you? What is that saying? And so you grow up with these already preconceived ideas of who you should be or what you should be or what's acceptable or what's not acceptable. And the idea of getting really in touch with your higher self or your spirit is so that you can transcend that and start being like, well, what's true for me as an individual beyond the imprinting that maybe I had when I was young, beyond what my mom's opinion was or my dad's opinion, mm-hmm. like, who am I as an individual or as a unique spirit or soul?
Yeah. So some of those imprints include, like you mentioned, family and society.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other yes. ones that we might not be aware of? Because I think, you know, we've become increasingly aware of family, mm-hmm. you know, lately, and society, but are there other ones too, that we might not even be realizing that we're getting these imprints from?
Yes, definitely. I think one of them is when we're little, we are constantly making up, rules about the world. Mm-hmm. And so when that's happening is we end up at a young age having what I call misbeliefs, these beliefs that actually aren't helpful or don't serve us, right? Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example of this. So when I was little, mm-hmm. I was having a lot of trauma. I'd lost my sister. She had passed away and I struggled in school really bad. And I think I was dyslexic, but like, they didn't know how to, like, diagnose people then either. Mm-hmm. And so I think they did know how to diagnose people, but I just wasn't diagnosed. And basically I struggled in school. So my misbelief growing up was why I had a lot, but one of them would be, why try if you're going to fail? I'd rather not try at all. Right. Because that means that if I try and I fail, then I'm a real failure. So I found that I withdrew a lot. Mm-hmm. But I also like made up rules about myself that like, I can't learn. I don't know how to learn new things. I'm not capable. So these were some of like the rules or imprints that got kind of imprinted onto me as a young age. Yeah. That I had to work through.
Because when we're children, so, we don't have that life experience to guide us. You're just taking what you see and creating your own narrative from that.
Exactly. You're seeing it and then creating a rule about it. Mm-hmm. When I try to learn, I fail. When I try to do this, I don't succeed. I'm not acceptable. Like, you know, and so that was kind of my experience. So yeah, we have experiences as kids and then we're making up rules about them. And then as we grow older, we have to ask ourselves, is that rule or that misbelief still beneficial to me? Have I outgrown that? And I think when I started to study more spiritual psychology, I started to realize that those beliefs weren't helping me anymore. Maybe they did then, because if I had that belief, it was almost a way I could protect myself, right? Like I felt like survival. I could cocoon myself a little bit. It was survival. Mm-hmm. But now it wasn't useful. And so I had to update that belief. I had to change my brain and the way that I thought about it.
I love an exercise that I think people could do is to like identify those beliefs that we have that aren't serving us. Like, where did we inherit that about? And thinking about it, because I think once you identify it, it's really easy to let it go. That's what it's just bringing. Once you bring it to the light and say, oh, this isn't my baggage, you stop identifying with it in that same way that you always have. So it's just really sitting down to think about what isn't me? Like, what is not this part of my higher self? What if I inherited along the way, whether, like you said, it's early childhood belief or society or parents
and updating update it. My gosh, it's not relevant anymore. I don't want to wear those glasses. I don't want to see the world through that lens the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, it's hindering me. And that kind of gives it, retell that narrative. And that brings us to like this next kind of, and we'll get back to purpose. I just want to kind of explain to people what the higher self is so they can start to like really tune into like, what is their purpose? Mm-hmm. So your higher self is almost like your vehicle to get into touch with what is my purpose? What is my calling? Mm-hmm. But that brings me back to talking about the difference between the ego and your higher self. So your higher self is like what we talked about, that all-knowing part of yourself that has wisdom and is loving and gives good advice and all that kind of stuff. And your ego is the part of yourself that has more scarcity. It deals with fear. It has more of a lack mentality. And the interesting thing is you can actually pair these two parts of ourselves with parts of our brain. So the ego self is more kind of stemmed in the limbic brain, which is the part that houses the amygdala, the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of more in the back and in the center of the brain. And the higher levels thinking, the more unconditional loving, the guidance, the higher self wisdom is the prefrontal cortex. Just like sometimes when people get stressed out, they'll put their hand on their forehead. Mm-hmm. That is where your higher self stems from. Another part that you can kind of feel it in your body is in your heart. So like when you're speaking or acting from your heart versus kind of that limbic part of the brain, I just kind of wanted to give people a visual that this can actually be in the body too. It's not just like this thing that floats out around you. It's really in your body. So like you can begin to witness and observe what part of yourself are you operating from? Am I operating from my ego self or my spirit self?
So, I mean, from hearing that, it feels like ego is very much survival. Like this was what we have evolved with as a survival mechanism, essentially.
And exactly. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's the same type of thing as like, perhaps it's time to update the system.
Mm-hmm. And understanding that is a really easy way to quickly say, okay, when you can kind of differentiate the two,
yes,
understand yeah. what is being that ego driven, and you can dismantle it and say, okay, well, I created this as kind of going back as a survival mechanism versus, yes. you know, the other higher self that is also there to serve us, but it's almost like the ego is choking that out.
Brad, guess what?
What's that?
We have a new supporter Woo-hoo! Of Get Wealthy.
Yay!
I'm really excited about this one. So, backstory, my friend, my dearest friend, Kristen Beamer,
yes.
and her husband, Mike, started sharing this product. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, crap. If Kristen loves it this much, I know I'm going to love it. We're like the same person. It's really weird. We like the same shit. We order the same stuff at the restaurant.
Yep.
We like the same clothes. Like, it's very,
weird.
Very, very close.
Weird.
So I'm like, I've got to try this because I have been wanting to find a product like this that I really love because mm-hmm. I haven't been eating as well as I usually like. I want something to supplement it.
Okay.
And so with that.
What do we got?
We reached out. Athletic Greens. Sweet. And I love the product. It is so fantastic. All right. You've had it.
I have.
You like it.
I do.
Athletic Greens is, let's just break it down. It's basically a powder you mix into your ice water.
It's a greens powder. Yep.
It's a greens powder. There's 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, which is something that's important to me. It's sourced super well, super clean. Because a lot of times with vitamins and supplements, you don't know what you're getting. This right. is absolutely clean. It tastes great. Mm-hmm. I have it first thing in the morning and I feel really good.
I was going to say, how do you feel after you have it?
I feel really good. So here's some of the stuff that it does help support.
Okay.
Digestion, gut health, and liver support. Mm-hmm. So digestion, there's prebiotics in it, which is phenomenal. Nervous system, immune system support. Mm-hmm. Which is great, including vitamin C, niacin, vitamin B6, all of this. And this is all highly absorbable too, because you know how sometimes with vitamins, you're not getting the full capacity.
Right.
This one, you are. Antioxidants and superfoods. And you know that I love adaptogens. Mm-hmm. There's adaptogens in here. There's beetroot powder, ooh, carrot ooh. Root powder.
My favorite root powders.
Spinach leaf powder. Reishi. You know, I'm a sucker for like, I really am, you guys. I feel like I'm so thrilled. So we have partnered with them to share their products with you. You can use our link to place your order. It's in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I feel good that I can have that in the morning and then know that my nutritional needs are met.
Yeah. Not to say you can slack off on the rest of the
day. You're not going to just drink Athletic Greens breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but it's just such an easy way to take supplements.
It's a great insurance policy.
Yes.
Making sure that your nutritional needs are
needs
met.
Needs are met. Meet.
Do not mock me. Make sure that your nutritional needs are met and then everything else is.
Well, here's the thing. I'm like horrible grating. About remembering to take supplements.
Yes, you are.
But this is now part of my morning ritual and it makes it so easy. And like how many supplements I've had to take like this and this and this. And then you're like 20 pills deep. It is so nice to just drink it down. And it tastes great. If you guys would like to order, check out the show notes. Use the link there. I think you'll be very happy.
I agree.
Exactly. And that's kind of why I wanted to share that with everybody in the audience, is because I want you to understand and begin to observe where it is that you're operating from.
Mm.
And wouldn't it be lovely if we had more people more often operating from like our higher selves, from that prefrontal cortex yeah. with like more love and reasonability and understanding and wisdom, as opposed to being impulsive or, you know, and in a way, the ego is kind of formed to protect us. And in a way, it's kind of loving. Like, you know, when you get mad at somebody or you feel triggered in your ego, it's usually a mechanism to protect yourself.
It's like, so, I got you, girl. It's their fault.
Yeah, I got you. Them. Yeah, they screw them. They're awful.
They're just out to get you.
Exactly. They're out to get you, right? Like, the ego is like, its intent is good, right? Like it wants to, it wants to protect you. Isn't that funny how that is?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. Same thing, because you mentioned that fear is kind of associated to the ego. So the same thing with fear, right? Because things that are unknown that could hurt us, could harm us in different ways. So that our ego is basically saying, hey, you fear that, so stay away from it. You know, that's, it's gonna have
some sort of consequence, right? No, and it's true. And then sometimes fear is useful, right? Like we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it's it's so that you begin to decipher it a little bit. Like maybe it's not, maybe that's not useful. You know, maybe I want to look at this differently and operate from a different place. You know,
so what are some tools then we can start using to differentiate that ego to higher self? Because really, honestly, like I think back through my spiritual journey and I'm still on it and I'm still evolving. But I mean, Brad, you can be a testimony from like me walking out to seeing my ghost on the couch to like where I am today. It's a definite evolution.
Yeah.
And for me, part of it is really tapping into that higher self and that higher power, which is completely tied into that spirituality and what Stephanie, you defined early on, which is that connection to a God within or how we're experiencing God in life, not just seeing it from afar.
No, exactly.
So I'm really good at that.
Well, okay. So yes, I think this first step is witnessing where you're operating from. With compassion. So if you're operating from your ego self, maybe you transition into like, how can I have a more loving approach to this? Right. And then another great way to access your kind of intuition or your higher self is by asking yourself really good questions. So becoming like a detective for yourself, asking questions like, what is this experience attempting to teach me? Or why am I feeling afraid? So I feel like one of the best ways to get in touch with your intuition and your higher self is by starting to ask yourself questions. So ask your higher self that question. Does that make sense, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, when we are answering these questions, not being afraid to feel vulnerable in what your answer is going to be. Because I think some of us are afraid to see those answers, but it's okay. We all have those answers that they might not feel.
Yeah.
They might not be like back. Remember back in the day, this is a really weird connection. Brad won't understand it. But remember back in the day, 16 beat or whatever, there'd be like, or 17, there's all these quizzes. And I would answer the quiz based on like who I thought I was going to be or who I wanted to be. But like, that doesn't really serve us. So it's like, who are we now? Like when we answer these questions and not being afraid of the answer and finding beauty in those answers and vulnerability.
Definitely. Definitely. And the thing when you ask your higher self these questions, right? The part of yourself that has the wisdom, the question should always come through with kindness and care and love. It should never come back with you suck. Like that's why you're having this experience.
You're a loser.
Because where would that be? You're a loser. So where would that be operating from?
Ego.
Your ego, more of your ego. It's not your higher self. So now you can identify. So
well, that's a great way.
It doesn't mean that
doesn't feel good. Then analyze that. Yeah. That's likely coming from ego and then re-answer that question.
Yeah. And the higher self part of you, it should soothe you. It's not that you're not going to be honest with yourself, right? Like, it's not like it's going to be surrounded with kindness. It's going to be thread with kindness and love and support.
Yeah.
So that's how you can kind of begin to hear the difference in even your answer. Is this answer actually loving and kind and life affirming and supportive and makes me feel open, or does this response make me feel contracted? Contraction is more of the fear, is the ego, is that kind of part of yourself. So asking open-ended good questions is a great way to transcend victimhood. Victimhood would be like, well, why is this happening to me? You know, and starting to recognize that situations happen for us to grow. Like even some of the worst situations in my whole life, I can think of now in hindsight with a little bit of time, I can see how they really benefited me. But beginning to ask questions like, what is this experience like attempting to open up in me or share with me?
I always think too, Brad and I have actually had this conversation a lot about like consciousness and higher self. And I always think higher self is that person, not necessarily a person, obviously, but that part of us that has been with us the whole time, that has never changed. Like we all know, like that feeling, that sense of ourselves that when we're quiet, we're alone, connect with, and it's that same five-year-old. It doesn't matter that I've evolved or I've grown. It's that same feeling of that five-year-old. That's the spirit there that is always with us. And so we all can, I think we all easily can feel like we know that sense and that feeling.
No, absolutely. And that there's a great book called The Crown on Your Head. And I always read it to my Shine kids because I have a youth program called Shine. And it's basically explains that exact thing. And she does it so poetically. The last name is Tillman. For whatever reason, I can't remember her first name right now, but The Crown on Your Head.
We'll and look it up and link to it in the show notes.
Oh, it's so good, you guys. Yeah. If you're a parent and you want to like express what we're talking about in terms that are understandable to your child, it's so great because it just talks about like you're born with this crown on your head. And she goes on to explain that no matter how much you fall down or you get bumped or bruised, your crown never, it never changes. It doesn't dim. There's nothing that happens to it that you're born with it. It's like your innate, it's the thing that's given to you right at birth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a perfect segue into talking back and circling back around to purpose because a lot of times what we are interested in as children can actually be a little snippet into what your purpose may entail as well. Oh, so before I like that. Someone ever tells you like as a kid, like you can't do that, or you will never make money doing that. That is also part of your purpose. It's that crown. It's that thing that you were born with, that innate thing that kind of lit you up. Like I'll use my husband as an example because I think a lot of times we think of like, I think women tend to be a little bit more into these kinds of things. I'm sure your audience is primarily ladies, except for you, Brad. No, I'm just kidding.
These are like light anchor.
Thank you, Brad. Like, yeah. But I love this question. I love this, what I'm going to share with you, because it's my husband. So he has been in the same career doing marketing and sales for road construction. And he likes his job, right? Mm-hmm. But I asked him a few years ago, Caesar, if you could do anything, what would you do? And he just discovered over the last couple of years that he would love to get into film. And he's always been into film. He did film as a kid. He was in photography in high school, right? So doesn't this make sense? Yeah. And so now he's kind of pursuing doing videography and film and helping small businesses share their voices through storytelling. He loves storytelling. He loves film. He's an artist, right?
Love that.
So is he quitting his day job? No, he's not. But he's starting to incorporate more of this into his life because this feels like his purpose. It's the thing that he thinks about at night. It lights him up. He wants to take educational videos on it. So your purpose is that thing that you're hungry for. And it can also be that thing when you were young that somebody told you maybe couldn't do or that wasn't practical.
I would even say, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like looking back to that thing that you felt as a child, and maybe it was, you know, being a veterinarian, and maybe that's not necessarily your path, but the animals was the connection there. And so digging into that and finding maybe it's not that exact thing, but what was that connection? What was that spark that lit you up? And does it still light you up?
Totally. Exactly. And it's not exactly, it's the quality of it, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, a good example for me is like, I have always loved children. I remember being a kid loving kids, like just loving babies. And I just liked children. I always have. And all my life, everybody always told me, Stephanie, you should be a teacher. And I never, ever wanted to be a teacher. I didn't enjoy school. It wasn't something that I just couldn't fathom myself to be a teacher. Love teachers. Teachers are wonderful, but it just wasn't for me. But as I grew older, I started to create a youth empowerment program. And that felt like the golden ticket for me. It was like, yes, I can teach kids about self-empowerment, teach them to be outside and in nature and art and all the things that I would want to share with children. So the point is, yeah, it can morph and the quality can remain the same, but the what can change.
It's funny hearing you say that. I remember, and this is a little cringy and it's a little embarrassing, but I remember when I was little.
Oh, good.
I really wanted to be an actress, which I don't know why it feels cringy now, because it feels like very rooted in like, I don't know. And I wanted to be a teacher. And I guess I can kind of now and say, you know, it wasn't so much that I wanted to be an actress, but I really do enjoy entertaining people. There's something in giving people a sense of joy or whatever that is. And then also leading the way or guiding. And I guess that kind of like comes back to here. And Stephanie, you and I have talked is like, and Brad and I have talked on this show is I am finding so much joy in doing this. And so hearing you say that kind of makes my mind go there and I can kind of connect why that might be.
Yes, absolutely. So that's a perfect example. The quality is the same and the what is different because sometimes our what will initially feel limited. Mm-hmm. Like when I was younger, I wasn't even remotely in my awareness that I could have a youth program. Like it didn't even dawn on, like, you know what I mean? It was so outside of my awareness. But the quality of who I am, that crown that I was born with, that gift of being able to be with children has always been with me. Just like your gift to entertain and to connect with people and be vulnerable and real and also be a leader. Those qualities have always been with you.
Yeah. Okay, Brad.
And I think that's joy is really important, is to follow that joy. But yes, let's ask Brad.
Okay, Brad, I'm going to put you on the spot. What
yes.
you want to be when you were young? Because let's be honest, I think you still, I mean, I am going to put you on the spot. You struggle with purpose.
Yeah.
I know you've worked on connecting with your higher self more.
Yep.
I wish there was a video camera here sometimes. He's got such a silly look on his face.
I can see it, I think. I've seen you enough on.
Michelle saying that I tried to connect.
to your higher self. No, I think you've gotten better, much better. It's not like an overnight thing. So what, when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
I honestly don't really know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I went through like, I don't know. It just seemed like kind of typical kid stuff. Like I went through
but that's okay.
A veterinarian phase. I went through a professional basketball player phase.
But those are two things that light you up now.
Basketball?
Sports. Yes. Athleticism and physical movement lights you up. And
so Brad, you were interested in like animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you
as still a kid
love dogs.
Yeah, true.
I love this. Yeah. And you liked.
I went through like a lot of the, you know, you should be a teacher because I always had a thing for history as well. And so
you like history.
Mm-hmm.
So you should teach a league of dogs how to play basketball.
Yes, exactly.
Dogs.
Perfect. And the reason this you haven't done this yet is because this is a new thing. It's a new invention.
Invent this.
Exactly. But I think that's what it is. I think it's about getting curious. And my husband, when I would ask him that question, like, Caesar, if you could do anything, what would you do? He would get kind of frustrated. He would be like, I don't know. It would be a source of frustration.
We've had this conversation so many times and Brad's lighting up because he's resonating with what you and Caesar were talking about.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't know, but it sort of unfolded a little organically for him. And it was like, he really got into, taking photography and film of him hunting and our boys hunting. And he started to open, you know, an Instagram page with it and he got a lot of response and he started to just kind of get curious with it, with the photography part and the film. And then it sort of started to bloom a little bit more from there. He started to create these videos for his workplace and then he'd get a lot of positive feedback about these videos he would create. And then from there, it kind of grew. So my point is like, sometimes you just plant a curious seed, like a mm-hmm. seed that's just like, I'm curious about this. And then from there, it slowly begins to bloom and grow one after the other. So and it's not really like your purpose doesn't just like fall from the sky. It's not like, here it is, you know?
Yep. Totally. It's, and I think not talking yeah. yourself out of it or yeah. putting blocks in front to be like, oh no, this is silly. Like that kind of goes back into that ego mm-hmm. story that we tell ourselves. That
yeah.
That higher self.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about following the breadcrumbs of like what you're curious about. And then activating and working on it in really small, easy ways. And then the more, and this is where the spirit part comes in to me, the more becomes revealed to you. So you begin to not have to work so hard to find it, but it begins, the opportunities begin to come to you because you start the process of planting that seed.
Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
So like
the exploration of it.
Yeah. So like, for instance, my husband, he's just a good example for right now, the freshest in my mind. He planted the seed with the photography, with the kids and the film at the duck hunting. And then he's like, you know, I really would like to start more videography and actually do some business work with it. And he started to keep planting seeds. And then our neighbor popped in and was like, hey, I need a video for UC Berkeley. We're doing That's an educational so cool. film. And so yeah. he was like, okay. And then we started cracking up because I said, Caesar, did you think that your first like big job would come in from your garage? Like, yeah. Did you think that it would just like come to you in the garage? Yeah. You start cracking up. So the point is if you plant the seed, the rest will begin to unfold for you. You just have to open the door.
I think at that point, would you say the law of attraction starts to come into effect a little bit?
Yes. Yes. Because you begin to attract what you are, where you are vibrating, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
But, yeah,
so he began to say yes, and things began to show up.
Mm-hmm. And I think the way I always try to simplify that is that becomes the energy you put out. And so that is
exactly
the energy people receive from you and they mm-hmm. feel that energy and then they associate that to you and it comes back to you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you begin to be on a certain radio station and then other things of that nature can be drawn to you. And I think it's so important that everybody knows that they are born with a gift or a talent or they're, it's not like some people are not born with that. So mm-hmm. the point in saying that is everybody's got it. You just have to say yes and plant some seeds. And the seeds are literally things that you're just curious about. That's all it is, Brad. Just anything you're curious about.
Yeah. And just letting yourself just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let her rip.
All right. I'll start my dog basketball league here.
I can't wait. Let's do a vision board
a little bit again. I know Brad really wants to do a history podcast. He's got a smile on his face.
That would be so awesome. What kind of history do you like, Brad?
Oh, this is going to get good.
What was that?
What kind of history do you like?
I've always gravitated towards like a medieval and ancient history.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. I think it's so cool that everybody has different flavors of what they're interested in, you know?
Right.
So, Brad, please start that podcast. All the medieval experts are waiting for you. They all want to listen to your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's true. Yeah. No, and sometimes it's creating it in a different, unique way. You know, like, how can I work with history in an interesting, unique way?
It's just taking that spark, that interest, that thing that lights you up. And it might be applied in so many different ways. Maybe it's not teaching
exactly.
in a traditional sense. Because another fun fact, Brad actually has his master's degree in medieval history.
Ooh.
And was going
back
to school to get his PhD to teach at a university. And then life happened. So instead of being in a classroom, maybe you're on a microphone.
That is so cool.
I know,
I have to tell you, Brad, I actually love that time period. Like every show I can get my hands on to watch about that time period, I do. So I want you to know there is a need and a desire. I love
Michelle
it.
Mocks it really constantly. And she asks me about the history of dragons. And
see, I would be totally down. Well, I love it.
In fairness, yeah. It's a jest. Get it? Jest. Got like it. A joker.
See, get it? But you know, that's what it is. Maybe the quality is I love medieval history and the what is yet to be determined.
Yeah.
You know, so like maybe, I love learning about that.
And then if that's the
situation. And now what?
Right. And maybe it's just immersing yourself into that, like reading mm-hmm. more books and just putting yourself in that mindset and letting the universe kind of take over for some of that too. See, maybe yeah, now exactly. After
setting
about
intention.
It, one of our audience members has been looking to have somebody start a medieval podcast for their podcast network, and they're going to just hone in on you.
I'm sure that will happen.
Brad, maybe you're going to be the expert on the History Channel. We don't know.
See?
They're going to be like, we have Brad Smith here with, with the medieval history.
Stephanie, I'm with you. Once this podcast gets picked up into a Netflix show, maybe there'll be
a Netflix show.
Like, right?
It's yes.
Be like, oh, we've been looking for a guy to start exploring castles in Europe with. And
yep, let's bring his exactly. family along. Oh, I love it.
Would that
I
light
love
you up?
It.
Yes.
See? That's like.
Oh, see? That's the ticket. It has to light you up. And that reminds me of one of my favorite stories by Oprah Winfrey. So I'll tell you this really quick story. I love it. Uh-huh. So I went to see Oprah live with a bunch of my friends, and we sat in the nosebleeds, but it was really fun. Uh-huh. And she told this story, and I think it's kind of a great example of like the law of attraction or kind of along the lines of what we're talking about. So Oprah's a little girl. She went over to a friend's house, and the friend had this beautiful oak tree out her kitchen window. And Oprah said to herself, she says, one day I am going to have an oak tree just like this out my kitchen window. Mm-hmm. And then she said, fast forward into the future, and she's in her home in Santa Barbara. And she said, I was looking out my kitchen window, and she said, and there it was, that beautiful oak tree. And she said, but what I didn't account for that I couldn't see were the hundreds of oak trees behind it.
Oh.
And I just loved that story because it gave me chills and it made me realize that like God's dream for us is so much bigger than our own, and that we can just, and I don't mean God in the sky, you know, I mean universe, whatever word that resonates
whatever
for you.
Our own.
Yeah, whatever it is. But behind that oak tree is hundreds that maybe we can't see. And that's the point. Plant the intention, plant the seed, mm-hmm. and then let the universe take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. And so that's you, Brad. You got to plant that seed. You got to plant that medieval seed. And there you have it. You will have that Netflix original.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. And then we can learn how to recreate like medieval meals.
Oh, I love
that
it.
That'd be a fun component of it.
Oh, that would be really fun.
Right?
I'm into it.
I think it'd be really cool.
That is such a blast.
One thing I wouldn't be, don't get us involved in something that we have to like go live in medieval like quarters for like an extended period and like live as medieval. That wouldn't be as fun.
I know, that would be miserable.
Yeah, it does look a little intense. That's why I just like to watch it on TV.
Yeah,
totally. I don't actually have to live it. It's really true. But those would be sort of the ways to connect with your higher self and ways to kind of plant the seed to your purpose.
Oh, Stephanie, this has been such a beautiful episode. I feel like, honestly, you know, there's some episodes Brad and I will talk about that I feel like people will really have these like beautiful takeaways from. I think there's going to be a lot of aha moments for people. And I really thank you for that, for sharing your knowledge on all of this with us.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me. It's these things are kind of can be like, not so, they can be a little tricky to explain. So I hope mm-hmm. that I explained everything clearly for everybody to really understand and to start chipping away at it and start having their own spiritual experiences.
You did it beautifully. I agree. It can be kind of daunting, but the way that you talk about it, it's so understandable and we can apply it into our lives and selves very easily. So thank you. And I can't wait to have you back again now that you've been anointed as a friend of Get Wealthy. Oh.
I love it. I love it. I will be back.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Michelle. All right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Brad. So do you feel that'll help you? That was a helpful episode for you, I think, especially. I mean, yeah. For me too, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think, I don't know. It's always kind of a little tricky, and I've always kind of struggled with that kind of stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so many times people just kind of attach their higher purpose automatically to their career as well.
Yeah.
And I think that it doesn't have to be the same thing.
No, I don't think so. I think it just has to do with just kind of pursuing things you're interested in. And there can be some things that you pursue that, you know, yeah. That there's other reasons and other motivations for them.
Totally.
But I think people get get in trouble because they're not in trouble, but I think where people notice it is when they don't have anything in their life that kind of brings them that joy or that sense of,
yeah,
you know.
Well, and it's hard because I think our careers and our jobs are what takes up so much of our time, obviously. So it's easy to put attributes to that. But I feel like if we're finding that purpose and that connection to higher self and other aspects, we aren't putting so much of that emphasis on our job and career.
Yeah. I mean, if you can make them all work together, then that's, I think, the...
Well, and I think it changes
the holy grail of it, but...
For sure. And I think the part that's hard with the career is that it changes. I feel for me, my purpose has definitely changed over time. And
yeah, it might be hard to change your career every
three to five years. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I feel like before I felt a much more connection to the whole Smiths, if I'm being honest, and, you know, creating recipes that are healthy. And for me, it's almost like, okay, I've done that. Now what? That isn't fulfilling me anymore. I feel like I kind of have filled that bucket.
Yeah.
And I mean, this podcast is really fulfilling me now and feeling purposeful and a way to connect to my higher self, like we talked about in the episode. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I think this was a great episode. And I also really like the conversation on spirituality because I think spirituality gets overlooked a lot of times when people talk about wellness.
Yeah.
They don't always see, you know, because like we said before, people focus so much like on the physical parts of wellness, but they don't really focus on the other parts.
The mental aspects. Connected.
Yeah, and I think spirituality or just some kind of spiritual practice plays a really large role in that.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that really shifted everything for me was we can talk about the ghost situation now. That house was dark. I think some things happened. So this was our old home in San Jose, and it was built in 1930. And it was just like a bungalow. Like,
it's no longer there, though.
As of like 6 months ago, the contractors came in and
bulldozed it.
Good. I hope they took the spirits with it.
Rest in peace, 1112.
Well, you don't have to give out our address.
It's our old address. It doesn't matter. It's not even there anymore.
I know, but that's still... Sorry to the new owners.
Sorry to the new owners and their multi-million dollar...
It's not... You and I both know that thing is not the best lot. And who knows? Okay. So anyways, I always had heebie-jeebies there. And this was a point in my life where I didn't believe in anything. Like... I just didn't think. Yeah. I think you die, you go into the soil. We are all just like bio-organic material, and that's that. But I always had heebie-jeebies there. And then when I was connecting everything, because I talked about it in the episode, what I didn't mention, though, was that time. So I, after that first incident, and then our friend we talked to, she was like, I'm like, is our house haunted? And her face was like, well, I wouldn't say that. And then at that time, Cameron, remember, was getting really bad night terrors, and we couldn't figure out why. And she was only almost two.
Yeah.
She was a year and some, however. And then this one night, you weren't home, and I was sitting on the couch. Cameron's room was off of the living room there. And all of a sudden, she's like crying and having her night terrors. So I get up and... I walk in and a bunch of her electronic toys started going off at the same time. And I was like, oh my God. And I grabbed my baby up and I sat on the couch and I think I had tears in my eyes. I probably called you and I was like, oh my God, something's going on. It felt like poltergeist or something. I was like, what is going on here?
Do you ever wonder like how many like
people were killed in that house? Probably a lot. I don't know. There was a lot of stuff.
No, not where I was going.
Okay.
About how many parents have gotten like freaked out by children's toys? Because that's happened to us like multiple times. So I can only assume that it happened to everybody
here once. But the thing was, it was multiple ones. That's what freaked me out. It wasn't just the one. Okay, so that happened. And I think that was like the first time. And then it happened here with some stupid Melissa and Doug puzzle that was like, if you put the train on, it was like a magnet, and then it made a train noise. And that thing went off, and I flipped out, and I grabbed it, and I threw it in the garbage. I don't care. I don't have any time for any malfunctioning toys in my world. Anyways, this all makes me sound crazy. I am very well aware of that. But what it did make me realize, I think, for me, is that there's something out here I don't understand. And I think once our friend came and she did some energy work on the house, which, again, I know sounds crazy, that night, Cameron had no more night terrors.
Yeah.
And there's no way Cameron was like influenced by it. She wasn't even a part of it. She had no idea.
Yeah.
So for me, that kind of encouraged me to start looking more and like, what else is out there? Then I started reading about near-death experiences.
Yeah.
And it was just all had a very similar theme of this higher being and power. Like, so it just made me start understanding there was something out there that I didn't understand and that I don't think most of us did. And it's just interesting. And I think what I do is that I am able to marry this understanding of a higher power and spirituality with a physical world too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes you can get lost in either. Like, you're just fully
lost in the woo.
Well, lost in the woo, of course. And then I've had experiences. That's another one. I'll have to tell a story. When Kristen and I went to Sedona.
Oh.
And like, this woman was waving a blue. Oh. Like, she wasn't waving anything. It was just her hand. But she's like, the blue light laser of Michelangelo. That, you lose me, like, very much. But
why did Michelangelo have a blue laser?
I don't know.
Okay. Just checking.
We also had personal maps teams. Medical something teams. I don't know. Okay. It was interesting.
Okie dokie.
Kristen and I had some fun afterwards. We had some good laughs on that. Anyways, I keep digressing. We can talk about the like extent of how much. But my point is that you can lean into that. And that's a part I don't understand. I'm not going to poo-poo it because I'm open. It's just something I can't wrap my head around yet. But I think then there's people that are just fully present in this physical world without a connection. And I think there's a marriage of understanding within that.
Yeah. I think that like overall, bringing it back to wellness, I think like overall wellness does involve some kind of, you know, concept of something higher than where we are right now, than just what we see. And I just think that's just really important. And for whatever that looks like, I don't think there's any one size fits all. I think anybody can find.
It could be nature.
Yeah, no, nature's a huge one. I think everybody's just individually, but I do think that if there isn't, if you don't have anything along those realms in your life, then you would probably benefit from something, regardless of what that is, and just find out what works for you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I really want to get to this caffeine situation.
Although, like in our last conversation, I did have I flashed on what our actual tagline for this podcast should be.
What?
But yet we digress.
Well, yeah, are we talking about caffeine? Okay, what?
Well, no, just because we digress.
What was
digress.
The tagline? What?
The tagline should be that we always digress, because we said something about digressing before.
Oh, I didn't follow you on that one. But we're talking about caffeine.
Okay.
Okay, so I've been encouraging you to try no caffeine.
Yes.
You've been resistant. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're drinking my decaf.
Yep.
And you drink all of my decaf. And now I have no decaf because we have it shipped, because I like the like good, clean, blue bottle decaf.
Yep.
And you drank it all, and now you're back to drinking regular caffeine. So you've left me high and dry. So now I have to throw off my subscription order and like... Or I should just send you to Whole Foods today to go buy the bottle of decaf. Yep. Are you, or the bag? Are you going to start drinking decaf again once it's in the home?
If it's here, yes, I would.
Good God, what on earth? You're a pain in the ass. So then, buy two bags. You get your own bag. Okay. How about this? You're in charge of your decaf supply, and I'm in charge of my decaf supply because you drink a lot more.
For the record, I was not drinking a lot. but I could see that my consumption probably affected your.
I mean, I usually go through a inventory. Bag a month. I think that's what my subscription is on, a bag a month.
I was only drinking it for like a couple, it wasn't even like a full week.
Right, but you drink a lot of it.
No, I don't. I've been limiting myself. I've been drinking the same amount that you were, actually.
Well, we flew through two bags because I even had an extra bag on hand, a spare, if you will.
Yes, but I did raid your decaf stash and then I jumped ship. It was all out.
You're like a, what is it, like a pirate who comes and like pillages a village and like takes all my decaf and then just moves on.
Yeah. But the I'm drinking less coffee now though. So once I went back to the calf.
Oh, once there's no more caffeine. Decaf, I'll reduce it. Yeah. Charming as always.
Thank you.
He's got a big smile. I know you can't see it. Anyways, all right. I think on that note, we can wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
I know I did.
I know I did too. thank you for tuning in. Please, if you could, take a moment to support us wherever you listen to podcasts and rate us, review us, or even better, share it with a friend. Like if you could just share an episode with a friend and spread the gospel of Get Wealthy.
We don't have the gospel.
No, there is no gospel here. Outside of the haunted house, I guess.
It's not a gospel.
I know it's not. Anyways, please, if you could share with a friend, we really appreciate that. And thank you for tuning in.
Thanks, guys.